Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am uber excited. I have somebody who is not only special in my life, but somebody that has really helped me to get my arms around life. His name is Scott Hodge. Now, he is the pastor of Orchard Community Church in Aurora, Illinois. But the reason I'm having him on is because of the transformational story that he's gone through, that I followed through. Now, let me give you guys a little perspective. 2010, so about 9 years ago, I was changing churches, and I was going around from church to church, and I was looking for, you know, where do I want to go? I want to go to some place where I really feel connected and everything. And I'm sitting here, and I'm listening to Scott, and he's standing up on stage, just like any other pastor, and he goes, crap. And he said crap like four times during his sermon. I go, that's the guy I want to follow. Because there was just this sense of, he gets it, he's real, and he's honest. So Scott, man, how are you doing today?
I'm having a crap of a day, Brian.
There you go. Well, the weather is crappy here in Chicago today.
No, I'm joking. I'm doing pretty well. I'm in the midst of this project, and so it's chaos. It's chaos, but I tend to do well in chaos, which is a good thing.
Very good, man. Because, yeah, I know what you're going through. You're building, you're just about a week away from opening up a new facility. And, you know, I've been through the entire journey and it's crazy. But so let's start off with one of the first things I usually say in my marketing podcast is we never talk about religion, politics, or sex. And when I say sex, I mean men versus women, not the act. But I'm going to break the rule a little bit because it is so integral into the story and the heart of what's going on with what this story is about with Society 57, which you'll explain. I want to get into one other piece before we get there. And one of the things I admire about you is when you talk, when you're standing up there doing your sermons, you tend to bring a perspective that is a lot of history. I mean, it's watching you do a sermon is like listening to the History Channel. And the other thing I admire is that you've been there and done that. So you've gone to Bangkok, you've gone to Palestine, you've gone to Israel, you spent time and broke bread with people in all of those places to kind of get a different perspective. So can you talk about that? What was the impetus behind all of that stuff?
Oh, man. Yeah, you know what? And thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate that. For me, travel is such an energizing part of my life. And there's a equation that I love to share, and you've heard me share this before, Brian. And it goes like this: change of pace plus change of place equals change of perspective. And I don't know of a better way to have shifts in your perspective and in your thinking and the way you see the world than by getting out and actually, getting to the fringes and the borders and getting to places, even places that are perhaps considered a bit unsafe. Or there's something in me that thrives being in an environment. This is part of why I love Thailand so much. You've got the food is so different. The language is so different. The traditions, the religion, you're surrounded by everything's different, and it awakens your senses. And that is, for me, I think, something that helps keep me going in a pretty powerful way. So, yeah. And it's the whole Israel-Palestine thing. Wow. I have two kids that they tend to go after each other quite a bit and drive each other insane. And I have started calling them Israel and Palestine, the conflict that just won't end. And, but such a complex issue there. And, you start to realize things that are presented as black and white. If someone presents things like what's happening in Israel-Palestine as a black and white issue, they just don't understand it because it is such a complex place and the world is such a complex place as well.
I think the key thing that we've got to understand too, when you talk about perspective, is, the United States is 200 plus years old.
Yes.
We're talking, you know, Jesus was 2,000 years ago, and the Bible goes back even further than that. And basically, it's a history book on what happened in that region at that time. So, you know, having that and bringing that to the mix of what you're teaching, how you're leading people. And I know that has an effect on your decision to do what you did. So when I showed up at the church, there was, you know, 1,000 people, huge auditorium, big stage, cool stuff. I mean, it was, you know, all this other things. And then all of a sudden one day you said, I'm done. Not done with church, but done with that. Talk about what got you there, and then what was the idea behind opening up Society 57 and the concept, and then we'll get into what that is afterwards.
Yeah, well, okay, so I'll try to give you the 30,000-foot journey overview here. You know, 2002, I moved back to Illinois. I was in Minneapolis for almost 9 years, 10 years, and then Tulsa, Oklahoma. Two places I said I would never, ever go to. One was Tulsa, Oklahoma. The other one was Aurora, Illinois. And I've ended up at both. And so now I'm like, I will never go to Hawaii ever, you know, just to see. We'll see, you know. But anyway, I had come here to Aurora to help my dad. He was pastoring this church that I now lead for 25 years. And he had just built this new campus on the far west side of town. You know, 16 acres of land, and the church was struggling. And so he asked if I'd come back and help him and just bring some fresh energy. And so we started bringing change and transition. And, you know, that in and of itself, that's a whole different podcast, I suppose, talking about change and transition. But, you know, for us, what we really sensed was that the last thing our city needed was just another church. And what we felt like it did need, however, was something different, something unique, something that where people would feel welcome no matter where they're at in their spiritual journey, whether or not they even consider themselves to be spiritual or not. And so a lot of hard work. We went through this about 2.5 years of a lot of very difficult, costly change. And when we were about, I would say, 3/4 of the way there, meaning there on getting on the other side of all this change, my dad died very suddenly in a massive heart attack. He was 60 years old, and which was obviously a very, very difficult thing for me personally, also for our church. But it wasn't long after that the board came to me and said, "Hey, we think you should be the next pastor of the Orchard." And I said, "All right." I really didn't say all right. I actually was like, I don't think so. And I was, you know, it took me a long time to finally surrender and say yes. And so I eventually did. And, you know, it's weird because all that hard work that had been done, literally within months, we started seeing results. I mean, the church started just booming. I mean, we started going like 200 people to 400 people to 600 to 800 to 1,000 to 1,200. So we're adding services and staff and programs, and everyone on the outside is looking at it going, "Man, what's your secret?" And I'm getting invited to speak at all these conferences. I've got publishers sending me emails and calling me saying, "We will pay you to write a book." I mean, everything that you would think someone would want. And the fact is I, during that time, was absolutely miserable. And I think for a lot of reasons. For one, I saw the trajectory. I saw that we were headed to becoming the next mega church of the Chicago suburbs. And but I think one of the things that I began to sense was that, for one, I'm just not real wired to be, I'm not a great CEO type person when it comes to like layers and layers of bureaucracy and corporate culture. I'm much more of like a startup guy, and I tend to start feeling suffocated in those environments. And I think the other part too was, it felt like the larger the church was becoming, the harder it was becoming to be and to remain fluid and flexible and to be responsive to where we sensed we were supposed to go. The other part that was hard was that it almost seemed like the larger the church was becoming, the less of my true self I was able to bring. Mm-hmm. Because along with a lot of people come a lot of expectations that I am going to, you know, that we would be the kind of church they think we should be, that I would be the kind of pastor they think I should be, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, so eventually what started getting clear to me was that we've got to make a shift. And the other thing is we were really growing a church that was very more consumeristic in their approach. I mean, we were doing everything. It was done really well. It was done fantastic. But we were creating an environment where people would just sort of come and observe and watch as opposed to actually engaging in community and being a part of what's happening. And so what kept me up at night was not, let's just grow a big church. Let's keep adding services, keep adding staff. It was this idea of let's actually see people's lives transformed. And then let's see those people whose lives have been transformed be a part of a greater transformation. And for us, it was that greater transformation was about our city. And so we started to dream. We started to ask questions. One of the big questions that really is at the core of so much of where we're at right now and where what we're getting ready to launch into is this question of what would it look like to be not only be a church that is in Aurora or that is for Aurora, but what would it look like to be a part of what actually makes Aurora what it is? You know, what would it look like to be, to be on the front end of creating and contributing to the culture, to society. And so the problem was we felt really stuck. We felt like, okay, if we're actually going to be that kind of presence in our city, it's going to be hard to do that when we're not really in our city. And so we started talking about what do? We feel stuck. We have this huge campus. There's not a huge market for churches out there. Right. And so we started talking about it, and literally within months of having the first conversation about it, we were contacted by a mega church that was interested in buying our church. And we were completely flabbergasted by it. And to make a long story short, we ended up having this really great opportunity to sell our campus. It was a win for this other church that was looking for another campus, and it was a win for us because it would open the door for us now to take a huge step forward in what we believe was our future. And so that's what we have done. Mm-hmm. And that is what we're in the midst of right now.
See, now God had absolutely nothing planned, you know, just right. Randomly happened, you know, that's just so, if you, yeah, it's just exactly. Random, you know, the way it works that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I think that's really interesting about the story is, you know, first and foremost, this isn't, it's not about you, you know, it's really, you're looking at this congregation, and I know from being in other churches and in any kind of organization, I worked for AT&T, I worked for Arthur Anderson, they're all the same. You know, when you sit down and you look at it, the bigger you get, the more factions you get. Arthur Anderson had Anderson and Anderson Consulting, and the two of them went at loggerheads with each other and split the company and broke it in two, you know, and that happens at churches and all other things. So this is not any different than business. You know, it just happens to be what people do with their lives spiritually and on Sunday. So you come to this transition, and so you create this thing called Society 57. So the two questions I want to ask you, number one, is, you know, explain what Society 57 means so that people can understand that. But the second one is, the vision behind this, I think, is more about how it affects the people in there and the community from a different way of looking at what church is now. In other words, I talk about reinvention and pivoting. You didn't reinvent the church. You pivoted the church. You took it in a way that more matches the way society is today, at least in my mind. That's my take on it. So give me your take on it.
Yeah. So let me flip the questions and share sort of the vision behind it first, and then I can tell you about the name, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, you know, for us, what we know, and you know, historically, when it comes to most churches and their response to culture, it's in fact, it's usually not even a response as much as a reaction, you know, and oftentimes the reaction towards culture when it comes to religion is to either condemn culture or to be, you know, critique culture or to criticize or sometimes to copy culture or consume culture. And all of that is, you know, that's, to me, that's all easy. It doesn't take a lot of effort and creativity. It's also not very interesting, nor does it reflect the church at its best. I believe that the best contribution the church can make when it comes to culture is not to condemn it, critique it, copy it, but rather to actually be part of creating, cultivating, and contributing to culture. And, you know, so for us, it was the desire to be that kind of presence that that begin to grow on us and we, and so, you know, as this whole opportunity showed up, we started saying, okay, what do we want to do? You know, what if, you know, the what if question, my goodness. I mean, that is, so, you know, early in 2015, I started journaling and asking questions like, what if rather than being a Christian country club that serves our internal faith community well for a few hours, 1 or 2 days a week, what if instead we could somehow reposition ourselves and create the kind of place where people could come and experience connection, creativity, community, 7 days a week? And so that really is the heartbeat behind Society 57. You know, the last thing we wanted to do was go out and just build another church building that's going to be used 1 or 2 days a week. So we decided, you know what, let's not even build a church building. Let's create something totally unique. And so we started looking at what are the needs of our city and what are we good at? We weren't interested in trying to do a bunch of things that are already being done, or things that we're not going to be passionate about or good at. It doesn't make any sense. Right. And so we started asking the question of what's needed and what are the opportunities that are in front of us right now? And, you know, what we realized was that we know how to create great experiences. We know hospitality. We know people. We know how to connect people. So let's create a social space that will be open 7 days a week and be used in many different ways. So the vision of Society 57 is to be a multi-use space. So it could be, you know, so one of the big pieces of what we're doing is we're creating a specialty coffee house, which I can talk more about later. We're creating an event venue so that people can come and rent our space for weddings, corporate events, fundraisers, et cetera, et cetera. We would love to have a full-size commercial kitchen where we can, for small-scale food producers, caterers, et cetera, who can come and also incubate restaurants out of our space. I mean, we would love to, if 5 years from now, we can look around and say, wow, we had the opportunity to help create 3, 4, 5 restaurants or small businesses in Aurora. And in turn, that's helping our city to thrive and prosper and people thrive and prosper. We feel like that would be pretty great. You know, that'd be pretty incredible. So that's really the vision behind it. I mean, there's so much more, but I know we're limited on time. I will say that when we sat down and started coming up with these ideas, we said, what should we call this place? And you know, we wanted a name that was unique. We wanted a name that was locally rooted and had some kind of maybe historical significance if we could come up with something. And in 1857, East Aurora and West Aurora were two separate villages. And in that year, 1857, the two villages merged and formed the city of Aurora. And that is how we ended up coming up with the name Society 57. And so we love the name, we love our logo, we love everything about it, and that's a good sign for me, because if I'm still excited about that logo after all this time that we've been looking at it, that's really, really good. So, no, we love it, and it says to our city, too, that we're local. We're not some outside group coming in and trying to develop this thing for, you know, like one of many projects. This is everything we have we've put into this thing, and we're thrilled. And we're excited.
So the audience understands Society 57 is kind of the incubator building, all that other stuff. Orchard Valley Community Church, is that going to transform itself into Society 57, or is that still going to be an entity unto itself?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the Orchard community will remain the Orchard community. The Orchard has a tremendous reputation in Aurora. It's known to be a very unique kind of church, and we want to continue to be known as a unique place and community of people. So the Orchard community will continue to exist as the Orchard, but it will be that the Orchard gathers at Society 57, just like someone might say, hey, we're going to have our wedding at Society 57 or our meeting at, or whatever it might be, at Society 57. So, yep, it will still be a very unique and separate entity from Society 57 itself. Yet at the same time, they share so much. And I mean, really, the Orchard has birthed Society 57. So it's really hard to separate the two. But Society 57 is not a church. It is a social space. It is owned by a separate nonprofit we started called Project Canvas. But it definitely reflects the mission of who we are as a church as well.
So the thing I love about it most importantly is the vision for the community, because a lot of... I see this in churches and nonprofits. I mean, I've been on boards of nonprofits for years. I've been on chambers of commerce. And the one thing that you said that, you know, struck a nerve with me is every chamber of commerce I've been a part of has generally been a country club. And how do you change it from a country club into a community minded system? You know, that's always the thing, is how do we work together to make things better rather than, you know, the upper echelon gets together and parties, you know, because that's usually what it's about. And so you've really taken that vision and you brought it to the church, but you've also brought the vision of the Chamber of Commerce in there, and you brought the what I consider to be the future of how people communicate, because you know we do a lot online, obviously that's one of my specialties, but you've created a space where people can congregate on top of it. So you're building relationship into commerce, into spirituality, all in one fell swoop, which is just so unique. I mean, it's really unique.
I think so. And you know, it's I think one thing that's becoming clearer and clearer all the time is that the more digitized our world's becoming, the more people are craving real, actual human connection. And they're seeking out inspiring places to do that, you know, places to socialize and work and to create memories and to connect. And so that is such a big part of what we're doing. The other thing is the creative, what's happening creatively in our world. I mean, I think what we're seeing right now far surpasses anything we've seen, at least in recent history. And I mean, it's all around us, everything from like food trucks and street vendors to pop-up shops, musicians and artists and podcasters. I mean, and it's right here. It's everywhere. And so, you know, to create the kind of place where people can explore and share their creativity, that's a big part of this as well. And so we're having fun, and we are getting down to the wire right now. We're our building itself is about 100-year-old building. It's 20,000 square feet. It's absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And it's right on the Fox River. And our coffee house. Can I talk about our coffee house?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, bring it up. Because that was my next question.
That is my sort of my baby right now. My whole life is in this coffee house. So we're doing the whole project in two phases. And I would say that if you were to put any kind of tagline or mission statement to Society 57, it would be this, that this is going to be a place that our hope and dream is that it would bring out the best in everyone. There are enough places, there are enough voices, there are enough, voices out there that are doing just the opposite. We want to bring the best out of people. And so whether someone comes in as a customer or as an employee or whatever it is, we want to be the kind of place where we're very intentional. So anyway, so our coffee house, we're really excited about it because our concept, I think, is really pretty exciting. Right now our plan is to feature coffee from both a local roaster as well as a rotating selection of some unique and hard to find roasters from around the country. We're also going to have on tap, we'll have Nitro, a variety of cold brew coffees, and then we're also going to have a handful of inventive cocktail inspired coffee and tea drinks. So, you know, things like, if you can imagine, like an old fashioned inspired coffee or a Vietnamese style cold brew. Things like that. And so it's going to be fun. Our words, our big words for our coffee house is intentionality and hospitality. And so when you walk in, the bar is right there, center stage. The baristas, who are the artists, are doing their magic. And we've got wonderful seating. We've got seating for, I mean, it's basically, if you want to come in there and be by yourself, it's perfect. If you want to come in there and have a meeting with someone, perfect. I mean, we've got two rooms that actually have overhead doors that can be made private. So if someone wants to come in and do a private meeting, no problem. We've got you covered. If someone wants to do a small workshop, no problem. We've got technology. We've got TVs. Our internet is strong. And then we've got this huge event space, about 4,000 square foot event space that can, I believe, our reception style setup would be about 200, maybe a little less, 300 people cocktail style if it was just chairs. But we're already booking for all kinds of events. And it's exciting. And then of course on Sundays the Orchard will meet in that event space. That'll be our gathering spot. And there'll be a spot for another space for our kids and our students and that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Well, so you've combined a handful of different things. You've taken a Starbucks, you've created a co-op workspace, you've created a church, you've created meeting rooms. I mean, it's such a unique thing, and I'd, you know, someday like to have you on after you've had your sea legs under you and talk about what the future brings, but I know right now you're so focused on getting it open, and it's kind of hard to go down that road.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Brian, one of the things that really excites us is not just having people come in and rent this place for their events, but also some of the things that we are planning to curate. And so even things like pop-up dinners with innovative chefs. If you can imagine, you know, bringing in an innovative chef to do a 3-4-5 course dinner for a small group, not big, we want to keep it small. Film festivals, lectures, workshops, other cultural type events. And I mean, those are the things that really excite me, because those, I think those are going to be the things that are really allowing us to contribute culturally and creatively into our city and beyond.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing that excites me. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, coming on a Sunday, I learn from you every single time. But, you know, the ability to have a space where people can come in and, you know, educate and grow. And that's always been my mantra, you know, throughout the years, is never stop learning. You know, you have to continue to open your mind, open your heart, try to understand stuff. And this is just the perfect place to do that. So that's why I'm so excited about it. And I congratulate you on, number one, envisioning it and then getting to the point where it's about to open. So it's pretty cool. That's all I'm going to say. And I really appreciate having you. I know you're busy as a one-armed paper hanger, literally, because I know you're hanging paper at this moment. But if people want to, just give us the address of Society 57, talk about the orchard. You know, times and stuff like that, so they can get that.
Yeah, so we'll start with the church. Our church, the Orchard Community, can be found online at theorchardcommunity.com. We gather on Sundays at 10 o'clock a.m. This coming Sunday, can't even figure out dates. Let me say it this way. Our first Sunday in our new space will be Sunday, October 6th. Is that Sunday? I think it is, yeah. October 6th. By the way, on the fourth Friday, if you're around First Friday in downtown Aurora, if you're from the area, come by and see us. Our plan right now is to be open, not serving coffee yet, but open to just check the place out. Orchardcommunity.com. And then Society 57, you can check us out at society57.com. And we're on social media. If you just, you know, search on Facebook, Society 57, same thing with the Orchard Community, Instagram, we're all over the place. And we'd love for you to connect with us and learn more about us.
Yep. And for those of you in the Fox Valley who know where the library is in downtown Aurora, it's literally kitty corner from that. So it's pretty close. And Scott, if people wanted to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Carrier pigeon would be awesome. No, I'm joking. I think the best way would be probably email scott@theorchardcommunity.com.
Awesome. Hey, dude, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come do this. I appreciate you sharing your journey, your story, and I hope other people can see why I was so inspired by this that I wanted to bring you on. So, it was great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.